And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm privileged to have the new executive director to El Paso Opera with me, David Holloway. How are you, sir?
I'm just great. And my title is actually artistic director.
Artistic director. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Is El Paso new to you, or have you been here a long time?
El Paso is really new to me. Now, I have some connections with El Paso. I grew up in Kansas, in a small town in the state of Kansas, Iola, Kansas, that happens to be on 54 Highway. And 54 Highway brings you to El Paso, which I find so amazing. my city is on the eastern side of Kansas.
Okay.
But I went to the University of Kansas and got my undergraduate and graduate degrees in singing. And then I started my career and sang with the New York City Opera in New York. And I started with the Kansas City Opera and then with the Metropolitan Opera in New York. And then I went to Europe and sang for 10 years with the Deutsche Oper am Rhein, the German Opera on the Rhine, in Düsseldorf.
Okay, Germany. A lot of our listeners will know that. They know about your prowess, if you will, with the music scores and whatnot. Well, so let me ask you a question from a pedestrian standpoint. I've always been curious what goes on behind the scenes at the Metropolitan Opera. The production value, obviously, center stage when you hear it on the radio is just incredible. But how much work does it really take behind the scenes in order to make sure that's magnificent every time you hit the stage?
Well, you know, the Metropolitan is a huge organization, and they have fantastic people backstage. And those people have been working, and most of them have spent, you know, lifetime careers doing that work. And I've never worried about the technical aspects of it at all. They do such marvelous work. And, of course, you know, when you get to sing there, it's a beautiful theater to sing in. It's very easy for the singers. And it's been a joy putting together a lot of the productions that I've been able to do.
Let's go back to when you got interested, period, in getting into music. And I know a lot of parents would be asking the same question. How do you recognize that, A, your children have the talent to be able to propel them further into the future? How do you recognize that?
Well, I think in my own case, I had a sister just ahead of me who played piano. And I would sit down at the piano and pick out her pieces by ear. Now, that was a sign from my parents that I had some musical talent. Mm. And they started me studying piano when I was five. And they never, ever considered letting me quit. I never asked them. And I didn't. I was not a great, you know, piano student for years. It wasn't until really I got into junior high and high school that I started practicing and really grew to love that instrument. And I've always said that, you know, my sister, older than I, also had me singing all the time. But I was singing, you know, just for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really had to work at piano. And I've always said that piano is what got me out of my small town in Kansas.
Yeah. When you start looking back at your career, and it's been a stellar career, you look at all of your accomplishments, you look at everything, and then you watch the students that are up and coming who want to really stretch your wings out and get into that main stage.
Well, you know, opera is such a strange creature. You need a God-given talent to start out with. And then you have to have the luck of finding the kinds of people who can help you develop it. And I heard one of my colleagues in New York City, a wonderful teacher, Marlena Malos, says that it takes about 20 years to develop an opera singer from the time they're 18.
Oh, my gosh.
So it, you know, and a lot of the people that we use, I'm also director of the Apprentice Singers Program with the Santa Fe Opera. So this will be my 12th season with the Santa Fe Opera this coming year. And so I work with a lot I call them emerging artists.
Mm.
And you're emerging for a good long while as a singer. It's about like trying to be a brain surgeon, I think.
Okay.
And about the same amount of money, too. and effort.
And, okay,
but don't give me a scalpel. I'd not be very good at that.
But if I give you a chart and a couple of horribly written notes inside one of the measures, you'd know how to fix it.
I'd know how to take care of that. And I might know how to play it on the piano
too. Oh, nice. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk a little bit about that apprentice program from the Santa Fe Opera. How do people first off even apply to qualify to get into the program?
Well, it's probably our oldest young artist training program in the United States. It started in 1957 when John Crosby built the Santa Fe Opera Theater.
Uh-huh.
So it's always been known as a place where singers could go. And therefore, it's really one of the most popular. Anybody who's in a conservatory knows about the Santa Fe Opera program. This last year, we had 1,100 applications, and we have 44 slots that we filled for this summer. And this ties in very well with El Paso Opera, because all of the singers that we have in this production have come through that program. They're people that I've known and that I've worked with, and that I knew their abilities, and I knew that they were ready for this opportunity. And it's so marvelous that a place like El Paso exists to give them this opportunity. And I think people are going to be very excited about this Carmen. It has a cast that looks like the actual roles, the actual people who would be doing the parts. It's they're all in their early 30s, late 20s,
mm-hmm.
and they look like the characters they're playing. And act like them, and then just sing wonderfully. I just came from our first rehearsal this morning, and they were doing a run-through of the first act, and I heard them all sing. And, of course, they knew I was there, so that, you know, they like to show off. Singers have a little of that tendency.
Right.
Especially when they're good.
When they're that great, then you know that you've nurtured some pretty doggone good talent.
Well, and that's really the joy. And it's ultimately the reason why El Paso Opera was interesting for me. I wanted to be able to use people with whom I'd worked. And I know that all these people need that next opportunity. Where is that going to come from? In my day, I had the New York City Opera, but that went defunct a number of years ago. And they're trying to revive it now. But reviving it on the scale that it was at when I was there in the 70s would be a little bit different. You know, it would take a lot of money.
Well, you know, nowadays with crowdfunding, if you approach a crowdfunding site properly, you might be able to restart the whole thing.
Well,
the process.
What I want to see is the El Paso Opera grow. So you tell me how to get a crowdfunding thing started for El Paso Opera, and I'll leap on it.
I think probably the first step is to produce Carmen the way you envision it to be, and then afterwards you get to Kickstarter or GoFundMe and say, listen, we'd love to be able to put on a much grander production of fill in the blank. And then just go for it.
Exactly. And I guess that is what, you know, we have to really be thinking about. How are we going to do the next one? That's really important. And, of course, opera is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's wonderful for a city and area like El Paso and Juarez to have a major opera company. And why not be using emerging artists? You know, we don't have to compete with Dallas or with Houston. Fort Worth also has an excellent opera, but El Paso can have something that's really unique, and down in this part of the state, that's what attracted me to it, you know. And I've worked for a fantastic opera company with the Santa Fe Opera for the last 12 years. Of course, I sang there as an artist too, so I've been connected with the Santa Fe Opera. I was an apprentice there in 1966. That's going to be 50 years this summer.
Oh my gosh!
And so I've had lots of connection with Santa Fe over the years, but they invited me back to become director of this program in 2005. And I tell everybody it's the best job in opera. And what I'm hoping to find out is that I've improved on that job by moving to El Paso. That's where it's at for me right now.
I think one of the things that we really we really have to think about it in our own terms here in El Paso, is that our quality of life has stepped up dramatically in the last 5 years, and certainly your addition as the artistic director to El Paso Opera has really moved the bar up a couple of notches even further.
Well, I love what's happening in the downtown area. You know, there's so much rebuilding, and people are re-envisioning what can be downtown El Paso. And I think the opera ties in perfectly with that. You know, and what happened with us when we were doing Carmen is I was able to find a lot of these singers that I know, yes. I'm also using Kelly Rumba, who is the wife of the conductor, Bo Ratte. And Bo is conducting the opera.
Okay.
And we have a number of other singers who are from El Paso who are in the production. But, you know, all of the orchestra, all of the chorus, all of these people come out of El Paso. So we're trying to connect with El Paso every way that we possibly can, to use the talent that's here and to enhance the talent that we find here. That's really my vision of it.
I like your vision, because what happens with your vision and using El Paso as the benchmark, what it does is it begins to spread itself out to Las Cruces, to Alamogordo, to Ciudad Juarez, Villa Almada, people who want to play and really create the art, they will gravitate here in order to make it work.
Exactly. So we'll see. You know, you all have to take a look and see how you like Carmen. But I think we have a very special production. The sets have been designed by Texas Tech University El Paso architects, Ursula Krippa and Stephen Muller. They're a married couple. And they loved the idea of doing this and have put together a really marvelous set. So they are, of course, from El Paso. I have to say that I have my own son, who is a cinematographer in Seattle. Mm. I have him coming down and doing lighting. And there's going to be some very special cinematographic, signs that Bliss is doing this. But I'm just pleased to have him here and have him be a part of the opera and get to know El Paso as a city, be around it a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll have a chance to film something here, and he'll know people already.
Right. So. Again, it's all about networking. So let me ask you a question. When you present Carmen, and since your son's a cinematographer, have you ever thought about possibly doing a DVD that might sell more than enough in order to fund a next project?
Well, one would hope that it would sell, but I would love to film it, and of course Bliss would love to film it. There are lots of hurdles to a film. You know, you have to get permissions from all kinds of people to do something like that, and quite frankly, for Carmen, it's a little short.
Right,
it would be hard to get those in line now. But at another time, I would love to plan on it and do something a little unusual, maybe something that has not been filmed that we could put together and then design it and have it fit what a cinematographer could do with it.
For those who have never been to an opera, never have experienced the joy of the type of music and the storylines that come with each one of these operas, what would you tell a person who's barely just breaking the ice for the very first time how to enjoy one?
Well, I first of all would love to tell people that frequently it's people who have a certain level of maturity who come to the opera. They're tired of the sports games every Saturday and Sunday, and they're willing to experience something new. And opera is such an unusual art form because it involves singing and dance and, you know, staging and drama and then that fantastic orchestra and that fantastic choral work that you get. The chorus music in Carmen is just marvelous, beautiful music. But the story is really quite approachable. You know, it's about a gypsy woman, Carmen, who has a lot of very natural allure about her and is a very free spirit. And she gets into she gets caught by Don José, the protagonist, because he is ordered to guard her. She started a fight in the cigarette factory and has been, you know, shackled, and he is supposed to guard her, and she simply seduces him to let her go, and he does, and of course he's put in jail for a month, and then she has an assignation with him. She's going to see him afterwards, and of course his superior officer comes there, and he has to make a choice. He's going to go back into jail and back with the army, or he's going to go out, and he decides to become a smuggler with everybody else. That does not help his relationship with Carmen, because it's against his will. And, well, I have to tell you, Carmen does not end well for Carmen.
Oh, too bad.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
But the story happens in such a natural progression and such a natural way, people will get it immediately. They understand it and would dive into it. And then added to that, the glorious music, a fantastic staging, a beautiful set, and I, you know, from all the reports I've heard, the Chavez Theater has wonderful acoustics for singers. So I'm personally very excited about this project and can't wait to see it happen.
I think you'll like the Chavez Theater for not only the acoustics, but there's a certain amount of warmth that's built into that theater that's been there for the longest time. It's named after conductor emeritus of the El Paso Symphony. Abraham Chavez brought to this city a great love of music, classical. He tried melding neoclassical and contemporary pieces into the thing in order to kind of draw the school kids into the world of contemporary and classical music and teach kids in the 60s and 70s, listen, it's okay to like classical music. You're not a nerd because you like classical music. And he taught a lot of us how to do that.
Well, and I love the fact that I love having young people come to it. You know, Carmen can be a fantastic first opera for people because it's pretty easy to understand. We are doing the dialogue in English. All the music will be in French, but the dialogue will be in English because I want them to understand the emotional content of what's going on between these characters. If we'd had time, if I'd have had another month or two, I would have had the whole piece in Spanish for this area. But, you know, singers have to have time to learn something and incorporate it and get it into their bodies.
Right.
And I just couldn't make it work this time.
Well, maybe further on down the line is another project. That would be wonderful.
The next time we do Carmen, in 10 years.
Okay, so the production is set for what dates again?
It's March 17, 19, which are Thursday and Saturday evenings. And March 17 is 3 weeks from tonight.
Okay, wonderful. So tickets are available through the Plaza Theater box office, I take it?
And I think it's through the opera. You have
through
to
the
call
opera?
The El Paso Opera.
Okay.
There's a number for that. I don't happen to have that on me.
That's okay. We'll have all that information, including the website, epopera.org, I believe.
That's right.
And we'll have all of that on our website, along with our conversation and a whole lot more. Mi casa, su casa.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
We'd love to have you back. Every time you have a production, you know you have a place where we can come and talk and sit and talk about it and explain a little bit about it.
Well, and just attract people. Just let them know that it's all very accessible, that they all should show up.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I agree. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here on El Paso Primetime.
Thank you for having me.